Well, if you have a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 1. That's where we're going to be in the message today. But I want to start, before we dive into that, just to give God some glory today. Back in the fall, late fall, say October-ish, we were in a prayer meeting. And I don't remember how it came out, but somebody was prophesying. Might have been me. I don't remember. But the Lord was speaking about a winter harvest. He said, there's going to be a winter harvest. And of course, Christmas was coming, getting excited about that. And usually when the Lord says harvest, he's talking about salvations. He's talking about baptisms, things like that, people coming to faith. And so, and then I think it was Pastor Ruth, maybe a month or two later, kind of picked up on that same theme and was prophesying about that in a different prayer meeting. And then fast forward to the last few weeks here. And the last two Sundays, we had 17 baptisms all together, which is pretty awesome. And then today, I didn't see everything, but I know we had at least one today. There's a men's group that's a part of our church, and they shoot guns is what they do. And it's like competitive, and it's like they time each other and everything. I've heard rumors of this group. But to me, it was like a unicorn because I was like, I don't know, does it exist or not? I don't know. Supposedly led by a former Green Beret. I don't know. This is what they say. And I got a text maybe Friday, and they had asked one of our leaders to come out and baptize a guy that they had been witnessing to for many years, actually. And he had come to faith. One of them had led him to Christ and prayed the prayer of salvation with him, and he was ready to get baptized. And apparently, he told me yesterday, they've been shooting guns at this one residence. He said, I've been coming out here for 15 years to shoot guns. And so a lot of these guys are former military, and they all knew each other. And so I got the honor and privilege of going out there and baptizing this guy named Jeremy. And so it was so incredible, and it was like, what, 40 degrees yesterday? And I don't know when they filled that tank, but it had just sat in the 40-degree weather for a long time. And I told Jeremy afterwards when he got in, he's like, oh, I said, I don't know if the spirit was hitting you or the water was super cold. And he goes, well, at first it was cold, but when you dunked me under, it was something else. You know, that's what he said. And then, church, you know, he got done. We prayed over him. And then they said, Aaron, you want to shoot guns with us? And I thought I had died and gone to heaven already. And we're baptizing people, and we're shooting assault rifles. And it was incredible. And so the Lord is moving, and revival is upon us, church. So this is awesome. So I don't know. We're close to 20 now at that point in the last 3 weeks. And the Lord's just moving. And it hit me this past week. I'm like, this is it. The Lord was saying, there's a winter harvest coming. There's a winter harvest coming. And last week after church, more people were getting baptized. And I helped baptize someone, and then I sat down in the front row. And I was so overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And I was just kind of crying, watching other people get baptized. And the Holy Spirit said to me, this is a foretaste of glory divine. And I was like, and I knew what he meant. He wasn't just quoting that old hymn I sang growing up in church that some of you sang, right? And to me, I knew what he meant. He was referencing this summer. He was referencing this revival that he has us planning to host his presence. And what he was letting me know is like, Aaron, this is just a foretaste of what's coming. And I feel like the Lord's like, I'm getting your church consecrated. I'm getting your foundation shored up. If there's anybody in this church family that isn't saved yet, I'm getting them saved so they can be part of the army that goes out from this place and helps lay siege to this city so that we can see thousands of people come to faith. Amen? I believe that's what the Lord wants to prepare us for. In fact, I want to preach a message to you today called Preparing for an Outpouring. Preparing for an Outpouring. The last few weeks, the Lord's been giving me what I would call, really the last month or so, he's been giving me puzzle pieces, and I'll explain that in a minute. But it's puzzle pieces of the vision of this summer. I know at the end of this past year, we told you that the prophetic theme that the Lord gave us for this calendar year was ascend the hill, take the mountain. He said, this year is the year of the mountain. And there's a lot of prophetic significance in that. Of course, we live in a town called Mount Orb, which is quite ironic because it's flat as a pancake. But it's prophetic in the sense that as we've been talking about, we want to ascend the hill of God and seek him daily, But then we come back down to take the mountains of the earth, to take the high places where the enemy has taken ground or taken territory. And we've talked about how we all have high places in our hearts. We have strongholds in our families. And there are high places and strongholds in this community that the enemy has said, this belongs to me. This people belong to me. This family belongs to me. This neighborhood belongs to me. Some of these churches belong to me. The enemy is proud and he's bragging and he's taken ground. And the Lord is preparing us to host his presence, to lay siege to this city this summer and take back territory for the kingdom of God, to proclaim over Mount Orb. This is the mountain of God now. This territory belongs to the Lord. This is the rock at Oreb, which was how it was spelled originally, where Gideon's army defeated the enemies of the Lord. This is the mountain of God, Mount Horeb, where God came down and met with his people. And this is, hey, listen, there is a real Mount Sinai, and Pastor Troy preached about it last week. And it was an amazing message. How many of you enjoyed that message? There is a very real Mount Sinai, the very real mountain of God. But let me tell you something, church. This Mount Orb is our mountain. This is where we meet with the Lord. This is our mountain of God. This is where we ascend the hill. This is our Jerusalem. And we will be witnesses for Jesus across the world, to the ends of the earth. But far be it from us to want to go to Africa and want to go to Asia, but not want to go across the street to reach some of our own family and friends and coworkers who don't know the Lord. So it starts here. This is our Jerusalem. And the Lord is bringing us into the fullness of his plans for us this very year. We're on the precipice of destiny. Right now. I know some of you, you're not awake to that yet. You're not aware to that yet. But I'm telling you, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, when you look back at your faith journey, and those of you who are called to be a part of this church, and when your kids are leading in the kingdom of God, you will look back to the beginning of 2025 and the summer of 2025, and you will say, that is when it started. That is when the Lord poured out. That is when the free people became truly free and they started freeing people in Jesus' mighty name. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying right now. And you will say, that is when it started. That is when it started. That is when it started. But that's like saying when the first Apple iPhone came out. I don't know what date that was. I remember I was in college, I think, or high school. And I remember I was too poor to afford one. I remember that. I remember I don't think I even had a phone maybe when the Apple iPhone came out. But that's like saying when the Apple iPhone came out, the day it came out for sale, that's when it started for technology, for smartphones. And how many of you know that is not when it started? When it started was when someone had the idea. When it started was when they were in plans. They were planning and preparing, and they were working, and they developed the product, right? And then they started making plans to roll it out and make it available. There's always a backstory. And Pentecost, many people go back to Pentecost and say, that's when it started. The early church, that's when the church was born, or you could say reborn, right? Pentecost, that's when it started. And yet there's a backstory. There's a backstory. And so I want to look at Acts chapter 1. And this is where Jesus is preparing them for an outpouring. This is the background to, of course, Acts chapter 2, which is Pentecost, when the Spirit pours out. Which, by the way, was a big deal. And by the way, it still is a big deal. Because what was initiated on Pentecost, how many of you know, we are still in the same age since Pentecost. Nothing has changed since Pentecost. So everything the Lord was doing at Pentecost, he's still doing today. The era or the age has not changed. It's still the age of the Gentiles. There are many, many Gentiles, non-Jewish people who have not become believers yet. And when that full number comes in, of course, this is going to coincide with like the end of the age as well. When that full number comes in, then the Lord's like, we're done with that age. And now I'm going to save all of Israel. Right? And then this earth and this age as we know it is over. That's what the scriptures declare. And so we're still in the church age, as we say, the age of the Gentiles. We are still in the last days where the Spirit is being poured out, Joel chapter 2. How many of you know that, right? How many of you have heard sermons and are like, man, we're really in the last days, right? And you believe that. How many of you believe that? This isn't a trick question. By the way, every person should have their hands if you're a believer. Because why? Because Peter and Paul and the writers of the New Testament said, we're in the last days. These are the last days. So we're in like the last days. You know how if you repeat something, it means like you really mean it, you know? Like we had some steak for dinner, you know? Like, I mean, this wasn't just like the Chiefs. We had steak. We're in the last days, church. You realize that. We're right on the precipice of Jesus coming back. Whew. A few years ago, when the Holy Spirit was pouring out here, there was a family that came here, and one of them had a dream. And in the dream, they were getting into a military helicopter. This was like 2 years ago. And they were new to our church, but they've been believers for a very long time. And she had this dream, and they were getting into a military helicopter with some friends that were also coming to our church with them. And then they got out of the military helicopter, and she said when she looked at someone in the dream, she was wondering, like, what's with the military helicopter, you know? And she knew it had to do with church, and she was confused. She said, what's going on? She said somebody looked at her in the dream and said, they are an end times church, and I'm sending them an army. And she realized when she woke up, I'm part of the army. If you've been a part of this church for a while, you're part of the army. If you're new to this church, and maybe you're still on the fence looking for a church home, and you're thinking, I think this might be the place, then let me prepare you for what you're entering. You're not just entering a church family. You're not just entering a nice place to attend on Sunday mornings. You're entering into boot camp because you're joining an army. Now, if that puts the fear of God in you and you're like, I kind of just want to go to church, then maybe you have some things to pray about over the next few weeks. Really discern if you want to join an army or not. Because we are a Gideon's army. And the Lord's been preparing us to use us in a special way. But getting ahead of myself, let's read the scriptures. Acts chapter 1, he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. All right, I want to explain this a little bit. This is a guy named Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke. Theophilus, most scholars believe, was a generic name meaning to all believers because it means lover of God. And if the Romans were to intercept this letter, you know, it's not like, in my former book, Gary, then they don't go start looking for Gary to like arrest him and kill him, right? And so let's just call him Theophilus, and he's really saying to the beloved, to everybody. So, and what he's referencing is in my last book, which is the Gospel of Luke. Luke was a doctor, a medical doctor, and also a historian. He traveled with the Apostle Paul and some of the other apostles and early believers, and that's how he wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, which was the historical account of Jesus' life that he wrote, and then now he's writing the book of Acts. And we know that because halfway through the book of Acts, he mentions himself. He's like, I was with them, and he starts talking in first person. He switches over. So it's third person up until when he joins the journey. I love this. He says, Jesus, I wrote about until the day he was taken to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So this book's going to pick up where his last one left off, where Jesus is taken up to heaven and then from there forward. I love this phrase, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit. Here's why I love that. We're still in the same age. God's still doing everything that he did at this time in history. And how many of you know he still leads us the same way that he led these early apostles? He gives instructions through his Holy Spirit. Now, the instructions he gave to the early apostles, they wrote down, this is the New Testament of our Bible. That's what we call the Apostles' Doctrine. If you ever hear someone say Apostles' Doctrine, they're referring to the New Testament of your Bible, okay? And so, but a lot of that instruction, it really, he says, he gave these instructions to them through the Holy Spirit. So we have the instructions that he gave to them, which is the word of God. I mean, that's in black and white, or words of Jesus, letters in red, right? And that's unchanging. That's eternal truth. That is the foundation of the church right there. But he also speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never disagree with the scriptures. If it does, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a demon masquerading as the Holy Spirit to try to deceive you. And that's why what your experiences, my experiences, you know, hearing the Lord or dreams and visions, they never are greater than scripture. If you ever have a spiritual experience that's different than scripture, you're wrong, okay? Your spiritual experience is wrong. And demons are deceivers, and they can masquerade as angels of light. How many of you know Jesus experienced this? The devil quoted scripture to try to get Jesus to do what he wanted, okay? So it's the same for us. We have to be discerning, and that's why every experience we have, every discernment we have, we need to run through the lens and the filter of scripture. Does it pass the scripture test? But how many of you know there's a whole lot of instructions that God will give you in your life, or wants to give you in your life, that the Bible doesn't speak to because they're specific to your life? How do I know if I should stay in my job here in Brown County in Ohio at this, you know, school or at this place, or leave? It's like the Bible doesn't tell you whether to do that or not. How do you know? How do you know whether you're called to the vocational ministry or not? Well, all you're going to find in the Bible is everyone's called of God to serve the Lord and to make disciples, right? How are you going to know those things? Through the Holy Spirit giving you specific instructions. We've been on a journey as a church over the last, I'd say, about 3 years of becoming what I call a church of prophetic leadership. What I mean by that, it's really just biblical leadership. But what it means is we're not just reading the Bible and going, okay, how do we want to do that? How do we think we can do church in a way that will work, which means get people to come and see people get saved? That's all we are choosing what to do and how to do it. And so I remember the meeting a few years ago, probably 3, maybe going on 4 years ago, where we were talking about, I said, guys, let's talk about this big situation, this big decision we have to make. And, you know, I want to do something a little different tonight. I don't want to just dive in and start talking about what do we think we should do, because that's natural wisdom. I want to talk about what has God been saying. What's God been saying to you in your prayer life? What dreams and visions have you had, right? And let's weigh that out. And we began to do that. And what was really interesting is there was a unity that came together through everyone talking about that, of the voice of the Lord. The Spirit of God is saying this. And then here's what happens, church, and this is what the Lord wants. Okay, this is what the Lord is saying. Hey, it's not that we don't like natural wisdom. Now we use our natural wisdom that God has given us, because wisdom is from God, and we use that to do what the Lord is saying. So the voice of the Lord, which is the voice of the scriptures, yes, but also the prophetic leadership of the Holy Spirit, they go together. Spirit-led churches, Bible-based, Spirit-led church is what we want. That's primary. And then natural wisdom is secondary to that. And what we used to be, just to be really honest with you, and I'll be honest, what most churches are, a whole lot of churches are natural wisdom, and then Holy Spirit, well, I don't know, if it's like strong enough and not weird enough, then we might consider that those things. But really, it's what do we think? And so the Lord, that's not biblical. That's what we need. That's what the Lord showed us. It was a little alarming. It's like we need to shift. What does that shift look like? It looks like leaders spending a whole lot more time in prayer. Because how do you discern what the Spirit is saying? It looks like leaders spending a whole lot more time in scripture and then praying about how do we do this in our generation? Lord, what are you saying? What do you want us to do? And how many know every church family is unique? Church conferences are a great blessing, but let's not just go and cookie cutter and do what that church is doing because it, what, works. How about we seek the Lord and say, Lord, you know what works and you know what you want. You know, Moses killed an Egyptian and then said, come on, guys, follow me. That worked, didn't it? He thought it was going to work. It didn't end up working in the long run, did it? And Lord's like, I'm not blessing that. I'm not blessing my will your way. And how many of us do that? Man, I'm as guilty as the next person. It's like the Lord speaks a word to me. I'm like, thanks God, I got it from here. And that's not what he wants. The Lord gave me a word this week. This is what he wants. This is the journey we're on. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Think about that. Do you want me leading this church? Do you want elders leading this church? Or do you want Jesus Christ himself leading this church? How many of you say, I want Jesus? Praise God. Praise God. I'm not going to ask the other way because I'll have to rebuke whoever raised their hands. You do not want me or someone else leading this church. We want Jesus leading this church. I never forget 2.5 maybe years ago, the Lord showed me, he said, make me the lead pastor of this church. My title at the time was lead pastor. And so I remember I got done with the sermon and I knelt down and I prayed and I said, I am no longer the lead pastor of this church. Jesus Christ is the lead pastor of this church, the chief shepherd, the lead overseer. I am the lead servant. And yes, I am an overseer, which is a manager, right? I'm managing based on what the Lord is doing and saying. And I'm leading our team, our eldership, our staff to first, what is the Lord saying? What does the Lord want? Okay, and then when we get unity and agreement on it, it's like, now let's do it, okay? Let's do that. That's what I'm managing our leadership, hearing the voice of God. I'm a facilitator. I'm a facilitator, all right? And you guys can hear his voice too. And we love it when the church emails us or pulls us aside and say, the Lord's been saying this to me. It's like, awesome. And our youth ministry was started by a normal church member getting up at the end of a service many years ago and giving a prophetic word. It's time to start a youth ministry, short version. And we were just like, really? And I remember talking to Jamie a few months after that, going, what do you think? This was in the spring of whatever year it was, 16, 17, somewhere in there. And then that fall, we were starting a youth ministry because a church member heard from the Lord, spoke it out, and we said, well, weigh that. Don't treat prophecy with contempt. Weigh it. Judge it, right? And we felt confirmation on that. It is time to do this. And we did it. And it's exciting. And so that's the process he's been leading us into. And it's unto something. The Lord's, he has a purpose in changing the culture of the church. I believe he wants every church to be that way. I believe that's biblical leadership. You get to Acts 6, there's a lot of needs. People are being overlooked. Systems. You got to have good systems. That's all the American church ever wants to talk about. Every leadership conference I go to, what kind of systems do you have? How good are your systems? How brilliant are you? How can you prove it? How big's your church? Let's talk about your systems. And what do the apostles say in Acts 6? It wouldn't be right for us to figure these systems out. We know it's kind of a mess. We know people are being overlooked. It wouldn't be right for us to do that. We, as the core leadership, we need to focus on what? Prayer and the Word of God. I don't believe that's just praying, oh, heal Sally, heal Billy, help them, help this person. No, I think it was visionary, prophetic leadership prayer, begging Jesus, what do we do next? Now what? That's what I believe. And we need to read the Word of God, we need to know the Scriptures, and we need to preach the Word of Jesus. Hey, Matthew, what did you write down in shorthand there? What was that Sermon on the Mount again? Let's remember his teachings here. Let's tell everybody this. The Word of the Lord and to prayer. And that's the process the Lord has had us on. He's had us on this process, and he wants this type of leadership. First of all, he wants this in your individual life, in your family, in your household. And then he wants it in the church as well. But here's why. It's to humble us. It's to teach us obedience and dependence. He's been doing it at a church level in our church the past 3 years to change the culture of our church from wisdom-based to presence-based or spirit-based, spirit-led leadership, which is to say prayer-based. My house shall be a house of prayer. He's been leading us in this process as well to sift us and to rid us of idolatry and purify our hearts and our motives and our intentions. to teach us and train us to be truly free without bit and bridle. And this is the word the Lord gave to me this week. He wants a bride without a bridle. The psalm says, do not be like the horse and mule, which must be controlled by bit and bridle. He wants a bride without a bridle. He wants a bride that doesn't have to be controlled and that freely wants to love him and be yielded to him and do what he wants. That's what that means. And to be free. And listen, here's the deal. I don't know if you know this about God. He won't control you. He won't. He will not control your life. God is in control, but he's not a control freak. And so if you want to keep doing your own thing, he will go, okay, Romans 1, he gave them over. He's like, all right, go ahead. He'll let your natural sin consequences humble you until you're ready to go. And it's like, he's not the one punishing you. He's just going, go ahead, do it your way. Moses, kill that guy. Go ahead, if that's what you want to do. I will watch that happen. And then I'll wait for you to realize now you're an outlaw and you got to live on the backside of a desert for 40 years. Here's a mystery, and this is interesting. It says when the day they came out of Egypt, it had been 430 years. Moses was 80 years old. And I wrote in my Bible this question, and I will never know the answer till eternity. But I wrote, if Moses had not killed the Egyptian and stayed yielded to the Spirit, would they have come out when he was 50 years old through God leading them a different way? Think about that. Oh, God did it the way he did it, Pastor. God's sovereign. I can show you many times in Scripture where he says, do it this way, and they don't. The 40-year wandering is one of them. His plan was 1 year in the wilderness. They got 40. Why? They wanted to do it their way. In fact, they didn't even want to do it. Whew. God's ways are so much better than our ways. And when we do our way, he'll let us, and then we get humbled by our own disobedience. And often the path takes way longer than it should have. And when we finally get there, we're going, man, this is great, but man, I wish I had listened the whole time. And let me just tell you, I just celebrated walking with the Lord fully for 20 years in my journey, being faithful, like not walking away for 20 years. I came back to him when I was 20. And I've done that so many times in those 20 years. And if you're new to faith, if you're new to Jesus, I'm just begging you, just listen to him. It's so much better to do it his way. And even if his way is Abraham, it's going to be 25 years. That's just better. It's just better. Would it have been 25 if they hadn't done the Hagar thing? I don't know. Maybe it took, I don't know. But what I do know is it's way better to do it his way, to just trust him. And I've learned that enough in my personal life. And I'm going to be really honest. I have way more fear of the Lord on me for church leadership than even my own personal life. Why? Because I'm not just responsible for me, I'm responsible for everybody. And so I have the fear of the Lord on me when we make decisions and when we move forward. And the more bold and the more risky something is, man, I got more fear of the Lord. Pray for me. Pray for our leadership. Pray for our staff. Pray for yourselves. Because we want to follow the Lord. He wants a bride that doesn't need a bridle. Verse 3 says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, when he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he was saying, all of them, all y'all are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine being in this moment in a few days? Now, he says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days, you're all getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Guys, this would have made their memories light up like a Christmas tree. He's referencing John baptizing with water. Remember, some of them were disciples of John first. They were following John. And then he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. And they began to follow Jesus. Andrew, Peter's brother, was a disciple of John. And then when Jesus showed up, it's like, now we're going to follow him. We found the Christ. We found the Messiah. And this is what John said in Matthew 3, verse 11. And this is where, when he said, John with water, me, Holy Spirit, okay? Matthew 3, 11, John said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. This is, John said two things about the purpose of Jesus' life. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the entire world. That's primary, right? Secondary, what's after that? And by secondary, I don't mean less important, by the way. I just mean the second thing. He said what? I'm baptizing with water. He's the one. Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire! This is a great one-word prayer that church leaders love to pray. Fire! Holy Spirit, come. He says, and the fire's for you too. It's a baptism of the Spirit, filling of the Holy Spirit, and a baptism of fire. What's the fire? The fire is a purifying. It is purifying you. It's a purifying work. When you get baptized, this happened to me when I got radically baptized in the Holy Spirit. That didn't start with tongues. It started with this awe and reverence that's hard to describe. It felt like an Isaiah 6 moment. He is so worthy. And I thought I was living fully for him. And oh my goodness, I don't know if I am. Like, wow. Wow. You're in the fire. You're in the kiln. You're in the heart of God. Whoo. Reverence, awe, fear of the Lord, increasing beyond measure. Whew. Purifying fire. It's a judgment fire as well. It is. And he said he'll baptize you all, believers, in both. The judgment fire is not just for the world, right? It's for us. Judgment begins where? The house of God. So when you're getting purified, if there's anything that's not of him, he's chucking over your tables and he's kicking it into the fire. He judges your idolatry and he burns them. And listen, this is the favorite part that the Pentecostal pastors want to pray fire over you. It's fire power. It's power. Fire. Woo! Firepower. It's an equipping with power. It's like maybe you had a water pistol before, right? And when you get baptized in the Spirit, the firepower of God, boom, 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 you just got spiritually equipped with a bazooka in Jesus' name. And so you used to say to people, hey, do you know Jesus? And it's like, do you know Jesus? And they're just kind of like, you're weird. Get away from me, right? And you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're like, excuse me. And it can be super meek. Being bold doesn't mean being crazy, right? Doesn't mean being loud. Bold just means being courageous, standing for truth and doing the right thing and being a witness of Jesus no matter what. That's boldness. Humble boldness is what we're going for. And you could say the same thing as meekly as before. Hey, do you know Jesus? And you just went, hey, do you? Boom. And they're like, I don't know. Do I know Jesus? Oh, you tell me. Like, what was that? That was the Holy Spirit. That was the firepower. Your gun got upgraded, okay? Okay? Pray into this. The Holy Spirit will give you insight into what I'm saying. So he'll baptize you in the Spirit and fire. It's all of the above. It's all of the above. But John said, this is what Jesus will do. This is his whole purpose in coming. Here's the deal. Jesus comes and says, in a few days, it's coming. It's happening. The whole reason I was sent. The whole reason I came. Remember me saying just a few days ago, you know, it's about a month ago, I said it's actually for your good. I'm going away because unless I go away, the advocate, the helper can't come. And trust me, you want him to come. And I'm going to send the Holy Spirit in my Father's name. this is what I'm talking about. And guys, we're just a few days away. And for Jesus, the anticipation is mounting. He can't wait. He's telling them, get ready. This is coming. He gives them the final instructions. Stay in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. He doesn't even tell them pray. He just says, stay together, stay in Jerusalem, right? They're just like, we don't know what to do. I guess let's just pray, right? Gives them those final instructions. Stay and wait. Spirit's coming. How do they respond to this? You guys know what they say? They gathered around him. And you would think they would be excited about that Holy Spirit stuff, given that John said that's the whole reason he's coming. And he said, that's the whole reason. And I'm going to go, and you're going to get it. And by the way, it's a few days away. And that's what he's taught. This is the theme of his sermon that day, his instruction. And they say, oh, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Meaning, oh, are you going to kick those Romans out and fix our government? Finally? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus was so patient with these guys. He's so patient with us. Guys, this Holy Spirit thing is a big deal. Just a few days, it's coming. Oh, are you going to fix the government? Get rid of the Romans? Put us back on top? Is that what's coming? Guys, it's not for you to worry about that. But this Holy Spirit thing, you're going to receive power when it comes. This is what I wrote in the footnote of my Bible by that verse. You don't need to know the details. You need power. And I'm here to tell you, church, you don't need to know it all. You need power. The American church is overfed and underexperienced. We have more knowledge about God than any other generation in history, and yet we are seeing less people come to faith and going to church than ever before in our history. We have more access to more sermons and more conferences and commentaries, which are all free on the internet now, than ever before. And yet our culture is falling further and further from Christ, and the love of most is already beginning to grow cold because the church has grown lukewarm despite all her knowledge, because knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love builds. Love is a verb. Love moves. Love is an action force. Knowledge goes, it's passive. Sit back, feed me, feed me, feed me. Do it all for me. I just don't know what to do yet. I don't know what to do yet. How can we not know what to do when Jesus told us so much to do in Scripture? And here's the question. If you don't know what to do, are you doing what he said to do in Scripture? Start doing that. Start doing the works Jesus did. Right? Start here. Share your faith. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Raise the dead. Start there. And then ask for more details as you go. Guys, that's everybody. Oh, I don't know. I can't heal anybody. As we say in our household, not thinking like that, you won't. And you're right. You can't, and that's why you don't. Because you think it's about you. Your confidence isn't in his word. I'm just going to be obedient. He said I should do this, so I'm doing what he said, and I'm believing he is going to do some things. That's it. That's the Christian life. And then he does. You think if you're called to preach, it's about learning enough and becoming a good enough orator and speaking good enough to convince people and to persuade people? Do you think that's what it's about? You'll make a lot of false converts that way. It's about the anointing. Bible's a big book. It's about seeking him all the time, getting in the word and going, what do you want me to preach this week? Acts 1, okay? How? I mean, I preached it 100 times. I know it backwards and forwards. What? I want a bride without a bridle. Tell them, okay, this is where we're going. It's the unction. It's the anointing. It's his voice. It's hearing his voice. And then while you're doing, you hear his whisper, and you're like, forget the notes. This is what he's saying. This is what he wants. A lot of those notes, those 20 pages of notes that I write most weeks, I'd only got time for like 7, maybe. That's if I read them. That's a lot of me getting a lot of knowledge and saying, I want to speak a lot of knowledge and bore you to death. It's all about following him. Not the idea of him. His reality. The presence. He's a ghost. I don't use that language too much because I don't want the KJVers to be like, told you so. That's why. I repent. Humble myself. Jesus is a ghost. Right now. Literally. Get out of the American culture atheistic mindset. We want an atheistic Christianity that's intellectual only. He's a literal ghost and he's in this room right now. He's a literal ghost possessing most of the people in this room. And if you don't know him yet and you haven't placed your faith in him, at the end of this message, come get baptized and his ghost will possess you. Come and live inside of you. And that's awesome. Whew. You want that kind of possession. You want to be owned by Jesus. You want to be controlled and used by Jesus. Devils possess you and blasphemy comes out and hatred comes out and fear comes out. Intimidation comes out. When Jesus Christ possesses you, love comes out. Joy comes out. Peace comes out. Patience comes out. Gentleness comes out. Faithfulness comes out. Self-control comes out. Boldness and courage comes out. Righteous living comes out. You want him to possess you. Trust me. Whew, trust him. Trust his word. We need him. He is what we need, his reality. We don't need more details. We don't need more information. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need his presence. Whew. So after he tells him this, I love this part. Are you at this time going to restore? It's not for you to know that stuff. This Holy Spirit thing's a big deal. It's coming. And then he's ascends and he's gone. Love that. And a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white, angels, men have come to them. Men of Galilee. I just got to think about it. It's so good. It's like, this Holy Spirit, can you imagine if I was Jesus right now? I'm like, guys, this Holy Spirit's thing, back, forget about Trump for a few minutes. Pray for him, but forget about him. Pray and forget. Get back to here. This is what we're doing. Holy Spirit outpouring is what we're preparing for. Okay, got it? A few days. You know, gone. And you're all just like, whoa. And I love this. They're standing here staring. Can I get a few volunteers? Kenzie and Selah, can you come up here? Kenley. And Selah, can you guys come up here real quick, please? Pretty please. Give them a hand, guys. This is Kenley. I called her Kenzie, my bad. And Selah, just stand right here. So these are the disciples. Jesus ascends. Yeah, you're good. You're good. It doesn't really matter. There you go. All right. So he ascends. You're watching Jesus go up, okay? And go up. And John, can you come up here? We're the angels. I want you to come with me. Come up here. So you guys, you're watching Jesus go up. Just watch. He's glorious. He's majestic. He's beautiful. Look at him. Okay. And then. Men of Galilee. Hey, what are you guys looking at?
Jesus.
Yeah, he'll come back in the same way you've seen him go. Why are you still standing here looking? He'll be back. The end and scene, all right? Give him a hand. All right, thank you. I love that. They're just watching Jesus like, They're like the cloud. He's gone again. This is post-resurrection. He's in. He's out. He's in. He's out. He breaks the bread. He disappears. Then he comes back. It's like cloud hides him. They're just like, now what? Now what's he going to do? This is amazing. And these two angels walk up like, what are you guys looking at? They say, why are you still standing here? He'll be back. What's that mean? You better start doing what he said to do. When he comes back, you'll know it. And they didn't know it, but we know it. It's gonna be a while. So they had some work to do. And the work was stay and wait and trust and pray. Because something is coming. What's coming? Oh, he's coming back. In just a few days, actually. But not in the flesh. He's pouring out the Spirit. His Spirit. He's going to live in you. And he's going to take this little group of 120, and he's going to take over the world. That's what he's going to do. And I believe that's what he wants to do in our church. See, when Jesus came and he called them and gave them leadership positions, called them apostles, he started doing all the stuff. Preaching, healing, casting out demons. And they thought, we've arrived. We're there. This is it. This is what we're doing the rest of our lives. He's the king. He's doing everything. And we're his servants. And we're going to help him. And that's it. Jesus is like, no. And we know from history now, that was not the plan. What was the plan? Oh, no, no, no. That was 3 years of training. And then I'm going back to the Father, and I'm going to pour out my Spirit, and you guys are going to do this stuff. You guys are going to bring my kingdom. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. You guys are going to do it. And guys, man, we must enter many hardships. Go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Is that talking about getting saved, heaven one day? That would make it works-based, wouldn't it? How hard is it to say, Jesus, save me? Boom, saved. I'm telling you, we have to go through many hardships to bring the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God come in our lives and in our generation. And in our families, and in this community. I'm telling you. That's our calling, to bring his kingdom. See his kingdom come. That's what he's preparing us for. See, they thought they had arrived, but it was really 3 years of training. And the training, they got sent out to do the stuff, and they circled back with Jesus, and then he debriefed, and he's like, good job, but hey, don't be excited about this. Just rejoice, your names are written in heaven. Now that's awesome. All right, let's keep going, right? He did trainings with them. He sent them out two by two to do the stuff, trained them well, taught them how to pray. And then the cross comes, and they all fall away. And they thought it was over. And this is a word for some of you, a lot of you here today. Your mistakes, your failures, I got good news for you today. It's part of the training. You remember that word he gave to them, John 16? In this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome. Remember that? Go read the few verses before it. What does it say? You're all going to fall away on account of me. I've told you this in advance. Why? So you'll have peace. Hey, listen, I got a promise from God for you today. You will fail at some point. You will fall at some point. You will stumble at some point. When that comes, who do you trust? Your own perfection? Your own ability? Or the grace of God. The failure, the stumbling is part of the training. What made Peter the rock of faith that he was prophesied? Was it perfectly obeying and never denying? No. It was once he denied and he knew he didn't deserve it, he got grace upon grace, he got reestablished, and he went, wow, it really doesn't depend on me. He is so gracious. It's all him. And I'm going to still trust him. And if he forgave me, he'll forgive you. And if he gave me grace, he'll give you grace. What a rock of faith. Faith in Jesus, not in me. The failure was part of the training. The sifting and everybody messing up was part of the training. And when all that's over, he goes, do you still want it? Do you still want to follow? Do you really love me? Feed my sheep. I'm restoring you, and it's time to get busy to do the work. Stop believing your spirit of shame, cast it out, and believe the gospel. Whew. This is what he's been doing in our church. He was preparing them for 3 years for the outpouring. And then when the outpouring comes, they're like, now we get it. This is what it's all about. When the Holy Spirit comes, Peter stands up, and it's confusing because the Holy Spirit, I want to be really reverent in the way I say this because we could laugh and joke about it. The Holy Spirit is so powerful, it's beyond our understanding. If your child puts their finger in a light socket and you see them shaking and convulsing and start screaming, do you think they're crazy? Or is there an unseen force that's causing their body to do that? An unseen power. When the Holy Spirit, the power of God, comes on a person, what's that look like? Well, they thought they were drunk. Seriously. It was amazing and awesome and wonderful and totally confusing. And Peter stood up and said, let me explain what's happening. And he knew what was happening. Why? Because of the training. And through explaining it, 3,000 people accept Christ and get saved. And guys, they were off to the races. The world was off to the races. But I want you to think about this. Where would they have been? Where would we be? Where would the world be? If when the Spirit poured out in all his glory, if there was not 120 people who had been prepared and trained to receive it and to steward it and to understand what was happening. Do you know where we would be? We wouldn't be in this room right now. The Spirit would have poured out on dry, hard ground and it would have ran off and the world wouldn't have even known the difference. It would have been like the most confusing party you've ever been to. And then some people were like, that was great. And some people were like, that was weird. And then you went, and within a few weeks, everybody forgot about it. But because there was 120 who had been trained, who knew the heart of God, who knew him, who had him. So when he poured out on everybody, they went, this is what's happening. And they preached the gospel. Guys, we've been in a 3-year training as a church family to steward the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that he wants to bring to this area. I believe that. He's preparing us for that. After the Spirit pours out, they're going along. You follow the book of Acts and what starts happening. Now, he starts giving puzzle pieces of the plan. Now you're going to do this. Now you're going to do that. And there's some pretty major puzzle pieces. Like, Lord, we're being persecuted. Your biggest adversary is becoming your biggest advocate. All right, puzzle piece. Guess that's part of the plan. Saul's becoming Paul. Awesome. Thank you, Lord, by the way, for that. We're still scared of him, so we're going to wait about 14 years before we actually meet and talk with him, all right? Well, we'll see if he really did it. We'll see if he's serious. And then Acts chapter 10, Peter on a rooftop praying. Vision from heaven. He has no clue what's... He says no 3 times. And the Holy Spirit's like, just go with these guys that are coming. He doesn't... I will say this. The most major church leadership decision in history, and the dude, the way the Lord is speaking it to him, the dude he's giving it to, doesn't understand it until after it's made. Because God made it. God made the decision. Peter preaches the gospel. Holy Spirit falls on Gentiles because they just believe about the word about Jesus. And if you read Peter's sermon, as soon as he says who Jesus is, he died and he rose again. Boom, Holy Spirit falls, which means they heard it. They believe it. Boom, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes, who can stop them from being baptized? Why? Because Jesus, the ghost of Jesus, just said, these guys are saved. They're mine. So remember that vision now? Oh, don't call things unclean that I've made clean. And then he gets back to Jerusalem, and all the other leaders and elders are like, what did you do, Peter? Gentiles aren't allowed to be a part of this. Then they have a big church leadership meeting. Then he explains the story, and they go, oh, okay. Why did they go okay? Because there was a vision. There was a prophetic circumstance. There was fruit. There was confirmation that this was from the Lord, even though he just told one person. This is how Jesus led his church. And they get puzzle pieces and they get puzzle pieces. They get another puzzle piece in Acts 15. Hey, everybody, if you were one of those Gentiles, remember Cornelius, and it's been a while, and a bunch of Gentiles are here now, thousands of them. You don't have to be circumcised now for you men. So sorry to the ones in the in-between. We didn't know that yet. He didn't tell us that. It wasn't part of the unclean vision thing. I'm sorry. We're just now getting it. We had this big meeting, and Jesus is like, yeah, they don't have to be baptized. So we're writing you this letter, our apologies. Paul, you should probably apologize to Timothy. Timothy, let's just do this just to be safe, okay? Then they have the meeting, and Timothy's, can you imagine being Timothy at that church leadership meeting? Just to be safe. Wish I would have trusted the Holy Spirit on that one. It's real stuff. I'm sure there, think about it, there were probably people upset about that. Some men who were upset about that. We didn't get puzzle pieces. It's about the Holy Spirit. We're doing what he says. He gives the puzzle pieces when he gives them. So you may ask me sometimes, hey, what are we doing about this? What are we doing about that? And I may go, I don't know. He hadn't said that yet. I don't know. But I want to spend our last few minutes giving you a few puzzle pieces. And I'm excited about it for this summer. Over the last month or so, he's given us a few puzzle pieces. And these are the practical puzzle pieces, right, that he's been giving us. First of all, we've talked about this coming summer, starting June 7th, Saturday night. We're not going to be meeting on Sunday mornings through the summer, June through August. We're going to be meeting on Saturday nights at Land of the Free, which is our land, right, that we're setting apart for revival. And as part of that, we've been making preparations. We're working with contractors. And here in the next probably few weeks, next month or so, they're going to be getting started on installing a driveway out there and putting in a parking lot. And the parking lot's going to be a good-sized parking lot that's also going to extend underneath where the revival tent will be. And we're planning on purchasing a really nice big revival tent. I'm talking like old school under the big top type of revival tent. And we're moving forward with that. And the land improvements, driveway, parking lot, we're planning on using our building fund because that's part of the original plan with that. And by the way, thank you to everyone who's given to that, because we don't have to take up an offering right now for all this because of people who faithfully give. It's already there. We're just moving forward. And then the tent, we're planning on using our savings for that because, you know, that wasn't in the original plan, and I want to clarify that. But we're excited about it, and we're moving. That's underway. We're planning to, Lord willing, in the spring as well, run the electric and water out to that site, so we have that taken care of. So just be praying over that process. So we're making those preparations to get ready for the summer. This is another puzzle piece. And then there's a few more, and they all go together. So pay attention, all right? Some of you might have questions right now, and I'm about to answer a lot of them, if you just stick with me. The Lord let us know that this upcoming revival that we're going to host in the summer, he wants us to do trainings to prepare for that. And we talked about that a few months ago, but I didn't even know what that would look like. What kind of trainings? What are we doing? I don't know. And so we've been seeking the Lord a lot in prayer. And the first time he spoke to me about this, this is what he said. He said, you're going to pray for about an hour. You're going to teach for about 45 minutes on one of three topics, and that's the training. And he said, if it's a kingdom thing and you want other Christians to be a part, don't do it on Sundays. Because we were like, oh, maybe we should do trainings for revival on Sundays for our church. He said, no. And then he said, do it Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 9 p.m. So starting the last Tuesday of March, that's March 25th, for 10 weeks through the end of May, we are going to be meeting in this room to do what we're calling right now revival training, and it's going to be 6:30 to 9 p.m., and we're going to do about an hour of prophetic intercession prayer together. If you've never engaged in that, this is not some of our prayer meetings. You come in and you just kind of sit with the Lord, and you may never pray out loud. You're just really with the Lord in your prayer. in your heart, and then if he gives you something, you might pray it. This is not that, okay? This is like we're all getting in here and get a little instruction that night, break up into groups of three or four, and we are all going after it. And we're praying with a purpose. We're praying for this community. We're praying for revival. And the Holy Spirit's going to give us some themes to pray about, I'm sure, every night, and we're going to go after it. If you've never been in some of you are here right now going, you're thinking like an hour. Oh my goodness, that's a long time. It might be a long time when you're by yourself in your prayer closet. If you've never sat with two or three other people and went after prophetic intercession on a specific topic, it will fly by. It'll seem like 5 minutes. I'll get up and be like, okay, we're going to wind down and get into the teaching. And you're going to be like, wait a second, I only got to pray three or four times. You know, like that's how it's going to go. Because we're going to invoke the Holy Spirit, invite him to come in those prayer gatherings. He's going to stir up a theme, and you're going to watch it like popcorn go around your group, and you're all going to be praying into the same thing. And what they say sparks something in you, and then you pray, and it sparks something in them. And you're going to hear somebody shouting across the room, it's going to spark something. You're going to pray something else. And I'm telling you, it's going to be like 5 minutes. And we're going to go after God for about an hour every one of these trainings. Why? Because we need to learn how to pray, and prayer is the foundation. Prayer is the foundation. I forgot to mention a few puzzle pieces he gave us a few years ago, which we didn't understand. He said, you're going to lay siege to cities. The intercessors will go in first. And then once you're in there, set up training centers. Do not call them churches. That's literally what he said. And this was like 2 years ago. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. I'm writing it down. I'm like, no clue. All right. And I didn't really understand that. And then last year we sat at his feet. Still didn't understand it, but we were talking about it in leadership. What does this mean? What does it mean? And there was confirmation. Everybody's like, yes, this sounds like the Lord. This is what he's doing, but what does it mean? And I remember Pastor Matt saying, well, if we're going to lay siege to cities, it would make sense if we start with our own city here in Mount Orb. And if we're going to set up a training center to prepare people for that, to disciple people for that, and equip the saints for works of service, it would make a whole lot of sense if Free People Church is the first training center. I was like, yeah, that does make a whole lot of sense. And that's about all we knew at the time. But we didn't really fully understand it. And then he began speaking at the end of the last year. We're done with this season sitting at my feet. It's not, you're about to get real busy, he said. And then he began speaking about this coming year. And then we had a huge leadership meeting, seminar conference thing where we all got together for a few days and prayed and sought the Lord. And the Spirit moved and was leading us. And that's where we came up for this vision of this year. This is his vision for this year. We were a little surprised by this vision and all summer going after revival. Here's what we're doing this summer. We are sacrificing our summer as a church. You ever wonder why you've never seen other churches do something like this? Let's not meet on Sunday mornings for like 3 months. Let's not meet in our building. Why is that? Well, people won't come. These fears, right? And the Holy Spirit maybe didn't lead them to, right? That too. But why am I saying that? Natural wisdom in church world, this isn't a good idea. Can we just be honest about that? Maybe some of you have thought those thoughts. Hey, listen, we're not unaware. We're not unaware, okay? But this is what he said. This is what he's saying. So remember what I said earlier? What he says, natural wisdom makes that happen, okay? Oh, we should probably have a parking lot. We should probably make a way for vehicles to be on the land if we're going to be on the land. Natural wisdom. Let's get this right. This is what he's saying. This is what he's doing. And listen, I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. I think it's a great idea. Let's do this Holy Spirit thing. And I want to explain the trainings. Yeah, let me do that first. So he said this about the trainings, and I want to cast some vision to this because he's been giving me vision about what we're going to be doing and training on. So it's 10 weeks. The first week, I'm going to teach on prayer, prophetic intercession, and then we're going to do it. And that's going to equip us for the next 9 weeks when we do those prayer times, okay? The next 9 weeks, we're going to do the hour of prayer, and then we're going to do a 45-minute or so teaching or training on one of three subjects. Salvation, healing, and deliverance, okay? Salvation, how to share your faith, different ways you can share your faith, how to engage people with the gospel. In a very, very simple ways, all right? And this isn't preaching sermons. It's very simple. And then if somebody's ready, how do you lead someone to Christ, right? How do you do that? What does that look like? right? What are some do's and don'ts? What's good etiquette there, right? How do you lead them to pray that prayer? What direction do you give them afterwards? Salvation, healing, how to pray, lay hands on the sick to see them be healed, because Jesus told us to do it. Obey. If we love him, we'll obey his commands. That's one of the commands, heal the sick. Go heal the sick. And we see laying on of hands, sometimes use oil, right? Things like this we see in scripture. We're going to talk about that. And I'm really hoping that most of these nights we have practical experiences, okay? Like hands-on practice. The healing nights will probably be the easiest one to understand and foresee, that we'll pray for healing for anyone in the room that needs healing. We may even invite people that need healing. That is like, I don't want to be trained. I just need healing. It's like, all right, come to this night and we're going to pray healing over you. We're going to let our teams practice on you, right? And then deliverance is the third one, okay? How to pray to set people free from demonic oppression. Because let me tell you, people with demonic oppression are all around you. They are surrounding you. Some of them are in your household. It happens to you. It happens to the best of us at times. We all get oppressed at times, okay? And there's varying levels of that. But when you learn to recognize it, when you learn to discern between, well, that's natural and that's spiritual, and we can do something about the spiritual, right? Natural, we pray, and God can do that too. God can heal that. God can take care of the natural, right? But if it's spiritual, oh, that's when we can command with great success, right? And so there's some very simple ways for the average believer to know how to do that. And listen, you don't have to learn how to be the greatest exorcist who's ever lived, all right? So, oh, I just feel like the spirit of relief coming in. Oh, thank God, okay. All right. We do prayer sessions all the time for people with oppression in their lives, and some of them are intense. The vast majority, it's just oppression, but they don't know it's warfare, so they don't know how to fight it, and so it just remains in their life. And I just love sitting with someone, you know, this is actually spiritual. You know, if we just renounce these things and pray in this way and come into agreement with God's word, this is going to lift, this is going to leave you. Really? Yeah, let's do it. Awesome. Oh my gosh, my life's so different. Oh my gosh, oh, you help people. I was all Jesus. Okay, it's very simple, right? It's very simple. It's very simple. And listen, you can do it. You can do it, okay? And it's exciting. It's exciting. And so that's going to be part of it as well. And so we're going to rotate those for 9 weeks. So each of those topics, salvation, healing, deliverance, is going to get 3 weeks total training on that. And then listen, this next part's important. When we hit summer, that first Tuesday in June, I guess. I have to look at the calendar. As soon as we're done with the 10 weeks of training, the next Tuesday in the summer, the Tuesday nights are going to flip from trainings to outreaches. Now we're putting it into practice. What do we mean by outreaches? We're going to gather most likely on our church land. We're going to pray for a bit. We're going to get a little direction and direction from the Spirit. And then we're going to break into small groups, probably of 2 to 4 people, and we're going to spread out over this whole community every single Tuesday night. And we're going to go pray, prayer walks. We're going to go share our faith. We're going to engage people with the gospel. We're going to pray over people. We're going to see people get healed on the street. We're going to see people get saved on the street. We're going to see people get delivered on the street. And then we're going to invite them to these Saturday night crusade meetings. And if you want to know more, oh, you just got healed? Awesome. You know anybody else that needs healing? Cool. Bring them Saturday night. You just got set free? Your depression just left? You felt it? That's because it was a spirit, like I was saying. It's gone now. Feels pretty good, doesn't it, to not have depression? Yeah. Oh, you got some depressed friends? Bring them Saturday night. Oh, you got friends that want to take their own life? Bring them Saturday night. You think they might do it tonight? Here's my phone number. Have them call me. I'll do this over the phone with them. And it works over the phone. Because it's Jesus. It's nice to lay hands, but I don't have to. It's awesome. Guys, here's the deal. If you will go through this with us, 10 weeks of training, 3 months of doing this, outreaches, revival, Saturday nights, oh my goodness, you're going to get to the end of the summer, and in the spirit, you're going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're going to be so spiritually fit, all right? Why? Because we're learning all spring how to stay connected to him so we don't make it all about doing the stuff. So all summer, you'll be staying connected to him, but you'll be doing the stuff. And it is spiritually nourishing to do the work God has given you to do. And it will build your confidence. The scriptures say those who serve well gain a good standing and great assurance in their faith. Whew. You want to have more assurance, more confidence in your relationship with Christ? Do what he says. Share your faith. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Invite people. Let's go in after revival. And here's what's going to happen. If you will put yourself out there, Jesus will grab a hold of you and use you to bring the kingdom. And you'll go, oh. You'll give a prophetic word. You'll be like, oh, I'm getting some. Oh, I feel like the Lord's saying this. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to give my life to Christ right now. And you'll be like, and you'll be like, oh, okay. And you'll act like it's normal. You'll lead them in the prayer. You'll help them facilitate a baptism at some point. And then you'll go home and be like, oh, God's really real. God spoke. I didn't think I could hear God. And this weird thing happened. And I heard him and I said it. And oh my goodness. That's going to happen for you. It's going to happen for you. If you're willing to trust him and if you're willing to seek him, it's going to happen. And so the summer outreaches are going to be really awesome. And then we are planning, unless the Lord does something crazy. We're planning on being back in this room come September. And that's the quote-unquote off season. That's more about sitting at his feet and building discipleship. If we're not, that will be a good thing. We will be glad we're not if it happens. That will mean a catastrophic outpouring has happened. And we will do our best to steward that. Am I secretly hoping for that? Yes. But this is what he's called us to do to prepare. Does that make sense? When we hit the summer, how many of you remember Troy preaching last week? We said, hey, this is our outreach pastor now. Yes, awesome. That's his son. He's like, I remember. I love that. That's awesome. Part of the outreach that we foresee is meeting some practical needs. And if you remember the blessing block party where we gave away groceries, we are envisioning doing something like that potentially every week this summer as part of those outreach nights. So if you can imagine, every Tuesday night, there's probably going to be people saying, I'll stay at the land and I'm going to intercede the whole time. And we'll give a few people those passes, but everyone else, we're going to be spreading out, sharing the faith, sharing the gospel, praying over people, and we're praying that there's a group every night that's going to a different neighborhood, low-income housing, trailer parks, things like that, to just give away groceries, bless people in Jesus' name, and hey, is there any way I can pray for you? And we feel like that's a strategy the Lord is equipping us with and having us prepare for as well. So this is what we're planning. This is the preparations he's having us make, and we're super excited about it. A couple practical things with that. To support this, we've been talking as a leadership, and we feel led to this spring semester to not officially facilitate groups, the small groups. And the reason for that is we feel the Lord wants us to be as unified and focused as possible as a church. And so if you want a small group Bible study, so to speak, did you hear me say Tuesday nights starting at the end of March? We're going to be in this room, we're going to be breaking into little groups, and we're going to be praying a whole lot, and we're going to be going after the Lord together, okay? So we're going to push pause on our group's ministry for this semester. Now, if you still want to do that on your own, that's great. Do whatever you want. But we're not going to officially facilitate that as a church, if that makes sense. Here's the second part of that. Our elders were meeting a week or two ago, and we felt very compelled when we started talking about this. We feel like it's really important, along with that, that the Lord wants us all to be inviting one another into our homes for meals and for fellowship and for just hanging out, like starting now through like the end of summer, okay? And so let me put some handlebars on that. I'm challenging you right now, okay? We feel that that's the Lord's heart. This is the way I'm going to challenge you. Set a goal in your family that at least once a month, you're going to invite one or two other families from church over to your house for dinner, and then switch who the families are the next month. And in the early church, when the Pentecost came, they met together in the temple courts, which were huge public meetings with hundreds, if not thousands, of people, and they met together house to house, okay? And so, We are a little Gideon's army, but we're only as strong as our love for one another. It's hard to carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ if you don't know what one another's burdens are. And if we're just relying on public gatherings, both Sundays and then Tuesdays, we're going to be busy working for the Lord a whole lot. We're going to be busy sitting at his feet as a church family. And in big gatherings, it's hard to get to know the intricate details of one another's lives. That type of stuff happens in homes and around dinner tables, okay? And so that's the challenge, okay? And so think about a few families you'd love to get to know. Start making a list and start inviting people over. And, you know, you can invite them out to restaurants and stuff, but we really felt that in the home is a big deal because there's just a whole lot of goodness that happens when you invite someone into your house. So pray into that. Begin doing that. Many of our leaders have already begun doing that. It's a really, really beautiful thing. This is the last thing I want to share, and we'll close. The Lord, a month or so ago, as I've said, gave us some of these puzzle pieces, the practical things. And so we're doing our best to put those plans into action. But I've been super blessed the last couple of weeks because the Lord's been speaking prophetically that he wants to pour out his spirit. And when I say pour out his spirit, I mean really pour out his spirit. And this is what we're praying for. This will be a major focus of our prayer times together in the coming weeks. We can't plan practical outreaches and Saturday night crusades. We've done that before, and we've done the stuff, and we've seen God move. He always honors what we do for him. But what he's preparing us for and what he wants is something so much greater than that. And what I believe he's been doing is he's having us make plans that we think are just these little things we're going to be doing. And he's up there preparing to just dump out an ocean of his grace. When you read stories about great revivals, it usually starts with a small group of people, but it's not just this one church was really on fire for the Lord, and a lot of people came to faith at this church. There's this sense that the whole atmosphere of a region gets saturated with the presence of God, and people just start thinking about God for no reason, and people just start going to church for no reason. And when you go out to talk, do you know Jesus? And they're like, I was just thinking about him. Bah, you know? And the Jesus people movement, they've said things like you would sneeze and someone would get saved. What is that? That's different. That's different. I read a book called The Sounds of from Heaven about the Hebrides revival. That was that type of thing. There were young men, these are stories from this revival, young men who were meeting together to have a party to get drunk, and they ordered a keg, and on the way, they fall under conviction, and they get there with the keg, and they talk about Jesus, and they all get saved, and they don't drink, while a whole lot of other stuff is going on. And then they go to the revival meetings that weekend, already saved. That is what we're asking for. That is what we're after. And we're going to be doing these trainings because when people go, I need to know God, what do I do? Oh, I know what to do. The fruit's going to be falling off the trees. And then we'll know what to do with it. So these trainings, they're not about overworking and learning how to climb trees and cut apples off. It's about praying. It's all about the prayer. I can't stress it enough. It's about becoming a house of prayer, prophetic intercession, begging the Lord. Hosea, I believe it's 10 verse 12. It's time to seek the Lord until he comes. It's that. Let me tell you what this summer is for me. It's revival or bust. And if we're in that first meeting and not much is happening, you're going to see me on my face screaming at the Lord until something happens. And I hope you join me, because it's that type of intercession that's probably going to be happening about 10 weeks prior to that, for about 10 weeks straight, by the way. Because it's the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous that availeth much. Not the complacent, lazy, I don't really know, you know, the stuff, help us. No, effectual, fervent, let's go. Let's seek the Lord until he comes. We're seeking the Lord until he comes. We're striking the ground until we hit water. We're digging ditches until a well springs up and a fountain overflows that becomes a river that will water nations. That is what we're going after. And so you can start praying now. That's what we're going after. Because it's not by might nor by power. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. I've been blessed to be in a few meetings and revivals where that type of atmosphere was happening. And the Spirit was so on it. And let me tell you something. We went to one in Kentucky. They had a huge stage set up, fancy equipment. And they did a few nights of that. And we rolled up in there. It was like the last night, Friday night. We roll up in there and nobody's on the stage, but there's a huge crowd. And we're like, what is happening right now? This is a few years ago in Kentucky. Saturate was the ministry facilitating this. And there's an old beat up beater pickup truck, and there's people standing in the back of it with acoustic guitars and the dumpiest little PA sound system you've ever seen. And it's like, why are you all on the stage? And it's the big fancy stuff over there. They're like, we just felt led to do this tonight. And they're just like singing their guts out to the Lord. And then this surfer guy from California gets up and he's like, they're like, yeah, this guy, I don't remember his name, Ken, I don't know. He's going to share the gospel. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to share the gospel tonight. Hey, listen, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for you. And I'm telling you, like 3-minute sermon on the gospel. And he's like, and if you want to be baptized, we've got some tanks right over there. You need to accept Christ, repent, and be saved. Save yourself from this corrupt generation and from hell. Accept Christ today. I'll be over there waiting on you. He puts the mic down and walks over. And we're all just like, what was that, a sermon? What just happened? You know? And he walks over and we're all just like, what's going to happen now? And like, there was no music playing. We're all just kind of sitting. And it was like popcorn. You just see people, dozens of people popping up. I'm like, all right, I'm doing that. And they just walk over and they start getting baptized. The crazy, like messy yet beautiful music started back up. Somebody else starts preaching. They said, hey, there's a Daniel here in a blue shirt. Can you come up? We're going to pray over you. They circle this kid. They all start praying. They said, have you ever been baptized in the Spirit? He's like, no. He said, hey, everybody, we're going to pray that Daniel here gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. And everybody comes up, prays that this kid gets radically baptized in the Holy Spirit. They said, raise your hand if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody, a bunch of people raise their hand. They said, Daniel's now going to pray for you. And Daniel had a prayer line. I'm not kidding. This is a true story. Pastor Matt and Pastor Jamie were there that night with me, and this dude had a prayer line. I felt sorry for the kid, but he was like praying for people for like next several hours, and he's just so immersed in the Holy Spirit doing it. Overjoyed, glorious, messy, beautiful night, and then people are getting baptized. There's kids dancing, waving flags all around us. Imagine our stage all around you, interspersed throughout. People getting baptized, people laying on the ground in the mud over here, falling out under the power of God. It was beautiful and messy and amazing. And it was about the Lord, and it was about his Spirit. And then we worshiped the Lord till the wee hours in the morning, and then we drove home. And it was awesome. It was awesome. It was awesome. Now listen, I don't know what it's going to look like. It might look like that. Here's what I'm saying. I don't care what it looks like. We want the Holy Spirit. And the point, the reason I told you that story, is this little 5-minute sermon, you just see dozens of people getting saved. Why? Because it wasn't about the person, how fancy, how good of a speaker. It was about the presence of God, and it was about the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. And when you read the scriptures, that's what they teach us. And so that's what we're going after as a church. Last thing I want to say, I'm sorry I just said that, but I forgot to mention this. If you know other believers from other churches who want more of God, who want to see revival in this area, who want to be trained and equipped to help steward it, please, please, please invite them. Listen, not to the crusade nights. Invite them to the trainings on Tuesday nights starting at the end of March, because we're all in this together. This is not about our church. It's about training and equipping people for the works of ministry. And we're going to invite other Christians and other churches to do this with us, to do the summer with us, to go after revival. And then when we're done, they will be equipped to bring revival in their regions. And Lord willing, as the Lord leads and helps us, we will help them do it. Cool, we had a bunch of Adams County guys, a bunch of Claremont County guys partner with us in revival. They got trained. They're fired up. They want to do it next summer in their neck of the woods. Cool, we'll help you. We'll help you. That's what the Lord's doing. That's what he's preparing us for. And so this is year one. This is us getting started. It's exciting. And so invite people. You're going to be seeing some videos. We're going to throw a video out there of me explaining this shortly and inviting other Christians into it. And I'm telling you, this is not about sheep stealing and getting people to be a part of our church. No. We want them to stay in their church and get equipped and get blessed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you, when the Lord was giving me that about those trainings, I had this strong impression that he was going to be moving in power and doing miracles in the trainings to equip us for the summer outreaches. And I had this vision of people getting healed in the Tuesday night trainings, and then like a few weeks later, they're in the summer going, man, oh, your leg's broken, or oh, your back hurts, or whatever. Oh, I just got healed a few weeks ago. Jesus can heal you. Let me pray for you, right? And people getting healed. So he's going to be giving testimonies through the trainings to prepare us for what's coming. Amen? Is that exciting? I truly believe that. I truly believe that. I truly believe that. And so a few weeks ago, Pastor Matt was reading Acts 1 in a prayer meeting. The whole time he's reading it, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and it's going to start before the summer to carry you into the summer, to carry you into revival. And I was like, cool, awesome. Now, that's just me and God. So I'm like, all right, I really hope this is the Holy Spirit. You know, I really, really feels like it, but okay, all right. Pastor Matt gets done reading Acts 1, and then he starts praying. And he said, the Lord wants to pour out his spirit. He's going to pour out his spirit this summer. And he can't wait. He's going to start early. He's going to start pouring out his spirit in our church to bring us into the summer. And he literally prays verbatim everything I'm sitting there getting from the Lord. That's what we call confirmation, church. And it got me so excited. A few weeks ago in worship, I was not up there worshiping. I was down there worshiping. And the team was leading. And I was just really enjoying the Lord's presence. And this is what he said to me. He said, I am coming down. Keep doing what you're doing. You are preparing the way for me to come down. And then I read Exodus 3 verse 8 this past week. It's calling of Moses. You know what he says to me? Or what he said to Moses? He said, I have now come down to rescue my people. When God comes down, demons scatter. Salvation becomes easy. Miracles become easy. Filling of the Spirit just is happening like popcorn. That's what we're praying for. And I believe he's already been speaking it prophetically. He doesn't do anything without first speaking it to the prophets, but then we have a responsibility to pray and intercede and ask him for what he's already said he wants to do. And the prayer opens the way. It gives God, quote-unquote, permission. We're saying, yes, we want this. Come and do what you say you want to do. Save us, help us, rescue us, pour out your spirit. And he goes, I gladly will. Thanks for asking. And then God takes over. Amen? All right. Would you guys stand? And we're going to pray. We'll be done. And our ministry team, if you want to go ahead and come on up, please. And we'll pray for you if you need prayer today for anything. Whew. So, Lord, we just seal this word today in agreement, and we just ask you to do it, Lord. And, Jesus, we ask you to come in a special way and fill us. And I'm reminded of that great prayer from Acts chapter 4. Consider the threats of the enemy, God. Give us great boldness to proclaim your word and stretch out your hand to do miracles, signs, and wonders so that people will know God is here. God is among us. Jesus is alive. He's still doing what he said he did, what he said he was going to do. He's still doing what he did when he was here. He's still doing what his Holy Spirit was doing in the early church. And Holy Spirit, that's what we're asking for. We're asking for an outpouring. We're asking for visitation. We're asking for you to come. We're asking for you to saturate this area. We're asking for you to saturate this region. And I pray it begins today, 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 today. Let the rain begin to fall now. Let it saturate the ground. Let the wells of the deep burst forth. Holy Spirit, come. Rend the heavens and come down. Yes, God. Oh, begin to flow, Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We give you this region. We give you this church. We give you our lives. We give you our lives. We give you the coming months. We give you this summer. And we say, come, God, come. If you don't come, it's all in vain. If you don't come, then we're just really busy this summer. Please, God, we're asking. We're asking. We're seeking. We're knocking. We're believing. We're hoping. And we're not going to stop seeking until you come. So I thank you, Lord, for the invitation. Thank you for the invitation to seek you until you come. Thank you for access. Thank you for possibility. Thank you for faith. And I pray faith would rise up, a spirit of faith, God, would rise up, impart faith today. Yes, God. And we thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name.